Good evening, church. Can you hear me? Oh, yeah, I'm sure you can. God is good, amen. Amen. All the time. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for this time that we can be in your presence tonight. Father God, we thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you for your glory, Father God. We thank you for your protection in this place, Father. We thank you, Father, right now we ask you in the name of Jesus that you'll put a ring of spiritual fire around this place and a garrison of angels. Satan, you have no authority in this place. And we tell you to leave now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God, that you protect us. Thank you, Father God, that you bring this word to change our lives, Father God, to challenge us and to bring us into a stronger relationship with you. Father God, that we can walk in victory every day of our lives. We ask this now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, first of all, thank you very much for this opportunity, for allowing me to share tonight, Keith and Cheryl and all the elders. I shared this morning at a church in Annadale. I share there once a month. One of my friends is a pastor there. And so I'm going to be sharing the same message tonight. So sorry, family, you've heard this before, but the second time should be better than the first. Amen. So about 2 months ago, God spoke to me about certain things in my life and as a Christian as a whole. And one of the words that he brought up in the Spirit to me was the word of expectation. Expecting good things from God. Expecting God to move in our situation and expecting God to do awesome and mighty things through His Holy Spirit in our lives. So I want you to open with me to the book of 1 Corinthians tonight and chapter 13. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, it says now, there are now these three, faith, love, and hope. And the greatest of these is love. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 tells us that God is love. God is love. So as believers, we have faith, love, and hope, and God is love. So we also have the victory through Jesus because we are justified by faith. That's what it tells us in Galatians 2 verse 15. Amen. So if we are justified by faith, we have faith, love, and hope, then what we can also see is that we are made righteous, because to be justified also means to make right. If you need to justify something, you need to set it right. Am I right? Amen. So we are righteous. And the Vine's Dictionary says that righteousness is God's faithfulness and truthfulness, constant with His own nature and promises. Romans 3 verse 22 tells us that we are made righteous through Christ Jesus. And 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says that we are righteous, we are the righteousness of God through Christ. So we have faith, love, and hope. God is love, we are justified, and we are made righteous. Isn't that awesome? As a believer, these are all the things that we can have through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I want to take you back a little bit to the book of Genesis. And I'm going to speak a little bit about the covenant that God made with Abraham and Sarah. Now, before God made the covenant, their names were Abram and Sarah. And when God changed their names, Abraham and Sarah means the prince and princess of God. So immediately they were raised up to royalty. And God said to Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you, and I'm going to create this nation through you called Israel. Now, I'm not going to go into all the details, so obviously I'm going to skip quite a bit, but just bear with me. He then said to him that you and Sarah will have a child, and I will raise this nation up through him, and his name, you shall call him Isaac. Now, Isaac means laughter. So God raised up Isaac, and eventually the Israelites grew, and they were a mighty nation. And through the covenant that God had with Abraham and Sarah, He took the nation of Israel, and He made many promises to Israel. And He, in the covenant, He said that I will be your God, you shall be my people, I will protect you, and I am the Lord your healer. And there are many other things that God said to Abraham and Sarah, and through the nation of Israel. Israel, there was a guy in the nation of Israel called Joseph. You all know Joseph. Now Joseph was captured, and he was taken into Egypt, and eventually the Pharaoh had dreams. He didn't understand his dreams, and Joseph came to interpret his dreams. And he got, and he had favor with the Pharaoh. And he grew up, and he became one of the leaders in Egypt. Then everything was going fine for Israel. And years and years went by, and eventually Joseph died. And the Pharaohs stood up against Israel. And eventually Israel was taken into captivity. And what happened was that the Israelites started moaning and groaning. And God heard their moans and groans. And there was a man by the name of Moses, which he also raised up, also in the kingdom. And we know the story about Moses, where he was found in the bulrushes in the basket. And he grew up. And eventually through Moses, God saved Israel. And he took them out of Egypt. Amen. So why am I saying all this? Why am I going through this whole big story? Well, God took Israel out of Egypt. He saved them. He never broke the covenant with Israel. He always had a covenant with Israel. God never forgot that covenant that he made with Israel. He said, there are certain things that God said to Israel, and he never ever went back on his word. When Israel went through the sea, and they got to the other side, God said to Moses, I am the Lord your healer. He said to Moses, I will look after you. Israel went through the desert. They had a cloud during the day. They had the fire by night. They were always fed. They were never thirsty. God looked after them at every single, turn of events and everything they went through. And eventually, God called Moses and the nation of Israel to build the tabernacle. And the high priest, which was called to go into the tabernacle once a year, into the Holy of Holies, made atonement for the sins of Israel. And that was his responsibility, to go in and to make atonement. Now, the word atonement means to cover. Okay. So, this is basically what we can see in the Old Covenant that God made with Israel. And there's obviously many more things that he did as well, but I don't want to go into those details. So God looked after them, and he always provided for them. They never lacked anything. But Israel was spiritually dead. And because they could not stand righteous in front of God, because they obviously all the time broke the law. And what God did is he made atonement for them. I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed it and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which he shed for many for the remission of sins. So at the Last Supper, before Jesus was going to be crucified, he took his disciples into a new covenant with God, a blood covenant. In the Old Covenant, Abraham was circumcised, and God gave a sacrificial animal so that the blood was shed, so that the covenant could be made between them. In the New Covenant, Jesus Christ became the sacrificial lamb. We are sealed with the New Covenant because of the new birth. And that's what it tells us in Hebrews 10 verse 9. That because of the New Covenant, we are sealed. And because of the new birth, because we are redeemed. We are not atoned anymore. Jesus Christ paid for us on the cross. He shed his blood so that we could be redeemed. Now, redeemed means that we are washed clean. Amen. So now Jesus made this covenant with the disciples. And he said, this is my body, eat it. This is my blood, drink it. And he entered into a covenant with them. And the one thing I realized as well is that when we take covenant, or when we take communion as a church, we stand together in unity. So we don't just take it for our own benefit, but we also stand with each other. And that means that we carry each other's burdens. We pray with one another, because Jesus said to them, He said to them, all of them, drink my blood and eat this bread. This is my body. So in the new covenant, Jesus Christ is our high priest. 1 Peter 2, verse 1 and 10 says that Jesus is the high priest and we are the royal priesthood. Now remember, before Abraham and Sarah became royalty, they had different names, and God changed their names to make them royal. Amen. So He changed them to Abraham and Sarah. Jesus Christ is our high priest. In the old covenant, the high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies. And he had to make atonement for the nation of Israel, where Jesus Christ has done this for us. And our bodies are the priest's temple. Hebrews verse 7 tells us that Jesus is the surety of the new covenant. And He is our redeemer and advocate. 1 John chapter 2 verse 1. Where is Jesus currently seated? At the right hand of the Father. He's our advocate. And He speaks to the Father on our behalf. So where am I going with all of this? I'm glad you asked that. In Matthew 28 verse 18, Jesus said that all authority has been given to me in heaven and on the earth. All authority. In 1 Ephesians, it tells us that everything is under His feet. Amen. So we have faith, love, and hope. We are justified through faith. We are redeemed through Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus. And we are therefore believers. Are you a believer then? Amen. So in 1 John, sorry, not 1 John, in John chapter 1 verse 12, it tells us that the children of God, we are children of God because we received Him and believed in His name. So not only are we made righteous, not only are we justified, not only are we washed with the blood of the Lamb, but we are children of God. So with all of that, my question to you tonight is to have faith, to have trust, to hope in God, to believe, to be washed with the blood of the Lamb. What are you expecting God to do in your life? What are you asking God right now, at this moment in time, to do for you? Because we can have faith, we can have hope, we can have love. And if we don't ask God for anything, we don't expect anything. I truly believe that we are missing out on an opportunity. Because God says in His Word that if we ask, we shall receive. So turn with me to John chapter 14, please. John chapter 14, and I want to read from verse 12. It says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to be with my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, and that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments." So what is Jesus saying to us? Because we are children of God, because we are redeemed, we are washed with the blood of the Lamb, we are sanctified, we are righteous, we can ask Him, amen. And we can expect God to answer. I'm expecting God for great things in my life. I don't know if you're expecting God for something. But I'm expecting God to do exceedingly abundantly for everything that I ask Him. And you know what? Like I said this morning, I would rather ask God for a whole lot of stuff and get 90% of it than ask for nothing and get 100% of it. Why? Because then you're not getting anything. Amen. Come on, people. We need to be different. The world is looking at us. We have a Father who loves us. God, it says in His Word that God is love. We are so privileged to stand here tonight and to be in His presence. Because God has made that covenant with us through His Son, Jesus Christ. A covenant is a very strong binding thing. You know, in some of the stories that I've heard in Africa, where two tribes make a covenant, when they cut each other and they mix the blood and they drink the blood, do you know that from generation to generation, I think it's up to the 10th generation, that whatever happens to one family, the other family is obliged to protect and to provide. And whatever their needs are, the other family has to look after them. When God said to Abraham, "I will raise a nation through you. I will be your provider. I will be your protector. I am the Lord God who healeth thee. He didn't say, I might be. And if you well behaved, I'll see if I do it or not. He said, I am. And I'm not being funny. I'm trying to drive home this thing of, we need to have faith and trust in God, yes. But we also need to be in expectation of greater things. One of the things that I realized is that when Jesus was saying this, he wasn't praying something. He was actually telling his disciples that this is something that I'm giving you my name. This is a promise. This is a promise that whatever you ask the Father for in my name, I will do it. It shall be done. One of the most beautiful examples of this that I think in the Bible is that when Peter was going and there was a man lying at the beautiful gate, and Peter walked up to him and the man said to him, please can you help me? Please give me some money. I'm desperate. I need something. And Peter said to him, I don't have any money, but I do have something greater than money. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. He knew the power of that name. He knew the power of the name. Why did he know the power? What gave Peter the authority or that just to say that to this man? Because he'd walked with Jesus. He'd walked with Jesus. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, he said to his disciples, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Amen. So he has all the power. He has all the authority. So faith in action is expectation that the power is in the name of Jesus, because that's what the Word says, and that's what I believe. And I hope that you believe that too. Because we have these three, faith, love, and hope. And expectation is almost similar to hope. Because when you reach out to God in expectation, you're not just hoping that He will do something, but you're confirming that you believe and you have faith and you trust that God will do what you're asking Him to do. Why? Because He loves us. Because the Bible says that God is love. Amen. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Jesus said, in my name you will cast out demons. You will speak with new tongues. You will lay hands on the sick and they will be made healed. They will be made whole. Sorry, they will be healed. And if you take up a serpent or you drink poison, they will not harm you. Amen. And you know what? A lot of times, There's spiritual things. And I always try and relate these things back to a spiritual way of looking at things. So serpents may not be the physical serpents. But we know that the devil was represented as a serpent in the garden. And poison. The Bible says that unforgiveness and bitterness and hatred is poison to your bones. So this may not be a physical thing that Jesus was talking about. It could be, yes. But I also think that it was a spiritual thing. Because the devil comes kill and to steal and to destroy. And he wants to destroy us. But we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have a covenant with God. A covenant, a blood covenant, through the blood that was shed on the cross. John 15, verse 16. If you can just go there quickly, let's read that. John 15, verse 16. Sorry. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. That's the second time He's told us to love one another. It must be pretty important. Amen. He said it twice. And in John 16, verse 24, He says, John 16, verse 24. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Tonight when we were doing the praise and worship, Keith mentioned about us being having a spirit of joy. Being joyful in the house. And he says here, until now, you have asked nothing in my name. In which name? The name of Jesus. Amen. The highest name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So he says here, these things I have spoken to you in figurative language. But the time is coming when I no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from the Father. So what is this all about? What am I trying to say tonight? That because we have been made righteous and justified, because we have faith, love, and hope in God, and we have a new covenant through Jesus Christ, we can live a life of expectation. We can live a life where God can do things in our lives. But you've got to want that. You've got to want to receive that. You've got to say to God, I'm asking you for certain things in my life. I'm asking you to work in my family. I'm asking you to work in my situation. Father God, pour out a blessing on us. The Bible says that if we bring our tithes into the storehouse, God says, prove me. That means test me. That I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. So He's asking us to do something. And when we do those things and we put our words into action and we believe God and we expect something from Him, we can believe that we receive. And lastly, I just want to go to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. I really enjoy this psalm because it's one of those psalms, it's something that speaks about salvation of God and just being, you know, a lot of times we read something and it's almost as if God is speaking to us. And when I read this, it was as if the Holy Spirit was speaking directly to me. And I want to read from verse 5. It says, my soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. He is my rock and my salvation. He is my redeemer, my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. David, or the psalmist, obviously knew about the covenant with God. We know about our covenant through Jesus Christ. Amen. But sometimes we forget what the covenant's all about. And that God is our protector and our healer and our redeemer and our provider. And we allow Satan to come in and tell us that you're not good enough. Why is it taking so long? Why is God not listening to you? Why didn't He answer that prayer? Why wasn't that person healed? I don't know. But I still have hope and I still have expectation tonight. I want to share something with you that I shared this morning in the morning sermon. Mighty Men 2009. I went there and I wasn't quite sure. There was a point in time in my life where I wasn't quite sure what God wanted to do with me, through me, for me. And it was after the Saturday morning service, and my dad and my brother-in-law went back, or I think they went. And I said, I'm just going to stay behind. I'm just going to speak to God for 5 minutes. I don't know. I need to get an answer. I need to get an answer today. And I was sitting there on the hay bales, and I was praying to the Lord, and I said to Him, Father God, what do You want from my life? What do You want me to do with my life? As a little boy, I remember God speaking to me and showing me things that He wants to do in my life. But I was 36 years old. And nothing was happening. And I'm starting to get nervous. Amen. So I said to God, what do You want to do with my life? God said to me, open up to the book of Jeremiah. So I went to the book of Jeremiah. And He said to me, read verse 4 and 5. And I'm sure we all know what verse 4 and 5 says. But it says, before I knitted you in your mother's womb, I called you to be a prophet to the nations. And I said to God, that's fantastic. Thank You, Jesus. And I wrote it down. I wrote it down in here. And what I want to actually show you is that cross there is a piece of the hay bale that I was sitting on. Because that is the day that I believe that God changed my life. That was the day when God brought me into relationship of expectation with Him. I didn't know what God is going to do in my life, and I still don't know everything that God is going to do in my life, but I live in expectation. And only recently have things started coming together. And I mean, God works in mysterious ways, we know this. And I was praying to God, and I was saying to Him, God, open doors for me. Close the wrong doors, open the right doors. And nothing was happening, nothing, nothing, nothing. But I still had hope, I still had faith, and I believed that God loved me. And then I got opportunities to speak at the other church, and obviously tonight is a great blessing, an absolute blessing, and God is opening doors. But I just want to read to you what I wrote down here. This is what I read when I took my pen and I wrote down. I said to him, God, I don't know if you guys do this, but I do. I said to him, I promise to you, God, to do all that you have asked me to do and shown me. All I ask is that you be faithful to me. And this is what I believe the Holy Spirit said to me. I promise to fulfill what I have started. If you are faithful, I am faithful. And God started a work in my life. And that's what I want us to do tonight, church. I want us to go back to that place where maybe you've come into this place tonight and you just don't know where you're going with God, and you're not sure what God wants to do in your life. Are you expecting something from God? Are you expecting God to do something in your life? Raise your hand if you're expecting God to do something. Okay, that's not all of you. But I truly believe that we all are. And I want to encourage you, you know, as a child of God, that you are redeemed. You are justified. You are made righteous. Satan has no authority over your life. But you need to walk in the Word of God and say, Jesus, you've given me your name. Your Word says, and anything I ask the Father, our Father, because He is our Father, in the name of Jesus, the name above every name, shall be done. Amen. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to speak to the Holy Spirit right now. And I want you to make a commitment to God. And say to Him, God, and maybe you've lost hope. Maybe you've lost the vision because of things that have happened in your life. But I want you to reconnect those things with God tonight. I want you to reaffirm what God has spoken to you. I don't know what He's spoken to you. And as you're sitting there, I just want you to reach out in expectation to God. And I want you to ask Him for something, because I am. I'm asking God for things that, I don't know, only God can do. But I'm believing that I will receive those things in due time. And I'm going to live a life of expectation. Father God, as we sit before you tonight, Father, we know that many times the devil comes in and he tries to take what you have given us, Father God, your word. But your word says that we are your children, that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that we are made new, Father God, and that we are made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ, your Son. We have a covenant with your Son, Jesus Christ. Father God, we ask that those visions and dreams in people's hearts be made real, Father God. We pray, Father, that we come tonight with an expectation in our hearts that you are going to bring those things to fruition. Father God, that you're going to bring those things. I don't know. Father, sometimes I don't know how you do those things. But I just know that you do. And I believe tonight, Father God, that we receive that. And if you believe that tonight, I want you to say amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. I know that's short, but that's what I want to say to you. What I want to say to you, that because we are under the new covenant and because we are God's children, stop letting the world dictate to you what you should believe and how you should be living. Ask God to lead you through His Holy Spirit and expect great things to happen, because I am expecting great things to happen. And maybe God won't do everything that I expect Him to do, because it is according to His will and His purpose. I don't know. I just think that if you don't ask, the Bible says you don't have because you don't ask. Amen? Amen. So according to that, we ask that. And I want you to reaffirm that. And even during this week, as you're going through the week, spend time with God. We know that we have to spend 15 minutes a day with God Keith has asked us to spend that time with God every day. Come with an attitude of expecting from God to receive. Come with an attitude of God is going to provide in abundance. God is going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask, think, pray for, hope for, dream of. Why? Because He is God. And He can do those things, and I believe it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I want to ask this, but is there anybody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then the Bible says you cannot go to heaven. If there's no one here tonight, and I have to ask, I always ask. I don't always get a response, but I always ask. I'm not going to let that opportunity go by. Amen. And then the last thing I want to do, if you feel that God has touched your life, or if you feel that God has spoken to you either this morning or this evening through the Word, and you want to reaffirm something, either by what God has spoken through a vision or a dream, or what God has spoken to you through the Word, or if you have sickness and disease in your body, I want you to please come forward. We want to pray with you. We want to believe with you. And we're going to believe in expectation. Amen. And we're going to ask in the name that's above all names. Because Jesus said, if you ask in my name, it shall be done. Can I ask that as we wait for the people to come to the front? And please don't be shy. Come, we want to pray with you. We want to believe with you. Can we all please sing that I am the God that healeth thee? Do we all know that song? Okay, let's bow our heads and sing that song. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer. I sent my word and healed.